This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're chatting with Amy Ratcliffe about San Diego Comic-Con. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. A little bit of housekeeping here at the top. No show next week. The studio is going to be boxed up right after this recording for a move across the country. We hope to be back in early August with guest Mark Newbold from Jedi News to talk about Celebration Europe 2. We've got an interview with John Jackson Miller lined up that's going to go live at the end of August when Kenobi releases. And we have one, I think it's official now, we've got one special surprise for you all.
We do?
Yes. There's going to be a couple weeks in August where Nancy and I are going to be unavailable to record, so we've lined up some guest hosts. Bria, Emily from the blog, and our podcast host, Matthew Bowers, will be filling in for an episode.
And that will be an episode you do not want to listen to with your children.
No. That's probably going to be very profane. I, for one, can't wait to hear it.
I love how you'll let them do a podcast, but you won't post one that we record at Dragon Con.
I'll consider it. Okay, and before we go on too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details. And hey, I mean, you can go pick yourself up a copy of the Heir to the Empire 20th Anniversary Edition audiobook just by signing up.
Yes, or Kenobi will be out in audiobook on August 27th.
So, hey, you sign up at audible.com through the blog. We get some cash to keep everything running. You get a great audiobook. Everyone wins.
Everyone does win. And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. And you can purchase some really great Star Wars shirts at Her Universe. They've also just launched a Walking Dead line, if you're a fan of that franchise. And Ashley has told intrepid reporter James from Club Jade that they're possibly coming out with some more Expanded Universe shirts.
And
in
they
the future.
Are looking to be doing a second run of the Jaina and Mara shirts.
Yeah, so if you missed out on those, you might want to keep an eye out. And if you buy a shirt, why don't you go to Toshi-Station.net and click the link on the blog to do so.
It's a win-win for everyone around. So, hey, Nancy, what's new on the blog?
Well, we were a little negative for a while, mainly because of a certain book that was just recently released. We don't like to think of us negative people, but we have opinions, and our opinions were not very good. You could say.
Well, they were good opinions. They just weren't
good about the book.
Glowing opinions.
Yes. So I happen to be going through a blog post I wrote last year for EU Cantina, which I don't think is on their site anymore, but I had a copy of it somewhere. It was all about what I'd like to see regarding women in Star Wars in the future. And gonna revamp it and repost it with some of my thoughts, and then I realized it didn't really apply much anymore because two of my big main arguments have been fulfilled. One of them being a Jaina Solo book, and one of them being a Princess Leia book. And I was writing it in response to the cancellation of Mandorla, which was going to be the Nomi Sunrider book. And they ended up releasing Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void, which had a female protagonist. So that was kind of a wash, although I'd like to see even more female protagonists. It was good that we did get a book with a female protagonist that wasn't in, you know, that was in a different era, too. And just seeing the attitudes about women in Star Wars over the past year and a half, it seems like it's, you know, a lot more, I don't want to say welcoming, because it seems like they've never accepted female protagonists, but it seems like it's more likely to happen now, and people aren't really going to make a big deal about it if it does. Like, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, female protagonists, that's cool. And it's not weird or unusual.
And that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, we don't want it to be a big deal whenever there's a female protagonist. It is right now because it doesn't happen often. But, you know, hopefully there'll be a lot more of them in the future and it can be just something that is that we don't even notice eventually until there isn't a female protagonist in a book. So I decided to thank Star Wars Books for the woman that they've given us over the past year and a half. So thank you, Star Wars Books. Yay!
So yes, we were positive for a good bit there, just feeling good, feeling the vibes, and then you wrote this.
Technically, I wrote this before, but I posted it after. Because Troy Denning said something in an interview that I didn't really like about Jaina Solo's relationship with Jag and how if she married him, she was going to have to leave the temple, and he didn't want that to happen because he didn't want to lose her from his writing life. Basically inferring that if she didn't live at the Jedi Temple, she couldn't be involved in the main story. Which led me to thinking about how the Jedi have developed over the years, what they were like during the early days of the expanded universe before the prequels, and how they've changed since the prequels. And I know people disagree with me, and that's perfectly fine, but I really don't like the way they've become. They're very monolithic, which was the title of my article, The Monolithic Jedi. They're kind of cookie cutter and hard to distinguish. And I like to see that change. I'd like to see more variety, you know, not just in regards to gender and species, but, and, you know, even sexual orientation, but mostly in regards to personality. You know, Luke was a rogue before he was a Jedi. And a lot of authors forget that. You know, Corran Horn was a cop, and Tion was a historian and a librarian, and Kigal was a healer, and Kip is a great pilot, and Jaina is a great pilot, and they should, you know, keep all those aspects of their personality all the time, not just when it fits the plot. Like, I know I rag on her a lot, but Saba really started out as a great character because she was so different. And she is still different just because of the fact that she's an alien, but I would like to see more of that. So that was my argument. And
well, it is more interesting to see a diverse set of characters and not have them all be Mace Windu clones.
Yeah, that's what I feel like Luke is becoming, and I don't like that.
Well, Luke and everyone under him, they're all jerk asses.
Yeah, it's not cool.
No, so yeah.
And Bria wrote a review of Legacy number 5. She really liked this issue and recommends the arc as a whole. So if you have been holding back on it, definitely go pick up the trade when it comes out. Usually they come out not long after the arc, right? I don't know how comics work.
It varies from publisher to publisher.
Okay. And finally, we're going to Dragon Con.
Yes,
at the end
we
of August.
Are.
And we're going to be on some panels.
Yes, we are.
Yay.
I'm personally excited.
Yeah, you are.
You'll be fine.
I'm going to be really nervous, so I'm probably going to be possibly drinking an adult beverage in a flask. Possibly.
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 You know, it'll be great. We'll treat it like a Cammy's Concerns segment. We'll have our bulleted list of things to discuss. But in any case, if you're going to Dragon Con, you can catch us on some panels. Friday at 1 p.m., it's Intro to the Expanded Universe, where we'll talk about how and where to get into Star Wars literature and offer our recommendations for books, comics, and games. We're going to be joined by Daniel Eisenhower and Tom Hutchins. Saturday at 7 p.m., it's blog, podcasting, vidding, and fan fiction. We're going to be on that panel with Riley and Bethany Blanton of The Star Wars Report, Brian Young of Big Shiny Robot, and Force Knows How Many Other Media Outlets, for a grab bag discussion of blogging, podcasting, videography, and fan fiction in the Star Wars fandom. And Sunday, 11:30 a.m., in a panel that surprises no one, Nancy and I are going to be discussing the role of women and minorities in Star Wars and give our thoughts on how the galaxy far, far away can be more diverse and inclusive franchise.
Yes.
Excellent. So, yeah, that's if you're going to Dragon Con, you can catch us there. We'll have some swag with us. We'll try not to embarrass ourselves too much.
We've got a lot of... We got a lot of wristbands still from last year.
Yes, we do. Okay, we are going to pause the recording for a second, and we are going to bring Amy Ratcliffe on, and we'll come right back with Deke's Dirt. Or, you know, we could do our usual segment, Fixer's Flash, since apparently I can't read the show notes. So, Nancy, what have you been up to?
Well, nothing really. I really haven't been doing much except writing. I've been watching a lot of Full House because I discovered it's on Nickelodeon at night. And yeah, that used to be my favorite show when I was a kid. It's not really nerdy, but oh well.
Oh well. And as for me, don't look at me. I've been busy packing. Wasn't that the most entertaining edition of Fixer's Flash ever?
We could have just skipped it.
We probably could have. Okay, now we're really going to bring Amy Ratcliffe on. We will be back with you momentarily. All right, we are now joined by Amy Ratcliffe. Amy, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we've been wanting to get you on for a long time, and I don't know why we haven't, but Comic-Con seemed like the perfect time to have you on.
Yeah, I'm pretty, this is going to sound wrong, I'm pretty easy, though. All you really have to do is ask, and it's hard to shut me up sometimes.
Hey, that works great for our format.
Yeah.
Okay, so Amy, just back from Comic-Con. Before we start, why don't you, to our listeners who aren't familiar with you, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Oh, boy. So I like Star Wars, which you guys know. Maybe listeners know. There's that. I live in L.A. and I'm about to move across the country. Which has got me all kinds of anxious right now, in a good way. And what else? I like comics. I like to dress up and do cosplay once in a while. I love going to conventions. And I have cats. I think that's my perfect intro right there. I like Star Wars and I have cats.
I think I ran into you at Celebration 6, I think it was.
Yes, both of you. Yes.
Oh, that's right.
I was very excited to say hi and... You're going to Dragon Con too, right?
No.
Oh, and you're not?
Oh. Not this year would be my first Dragon Con, which I'm pretty excited and a little scared about.
Dragon Con is so much fun.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a different kind of convention than I have ever experienced before.
It really is. Yeah, from the people I know who've done both San Diego Comic-Con and Dragon Con, it's a very different, they tell me it's a very different experience.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's a lot more partying at Dragon Con from what I hear, like all the time.
That would be an understatement. It pretty much starts Thursday at 4 o'clock and ends Monday morning.
Yeah.
Wow, that's aggressive/impressive.
Yeah, but Dragon Con's a lot of fun because I think it's just more laid back in general. Like, it's not so much about news and stuff as it is about hanging out with your friends and seeing cosplayers and stuff. So
that will be awesome.
Yeah. And also, if you're not following Amy, you should follow her on Twitter because she's awesome.
Oh, thank you. I tweet a lot, just a fair warning, especially at conventions.
That's well, okay. That's, any of our listeners who follow us are abused by our Twitter floods.
Yeah.
So we can find you on Twitter. What's your handle, just so we can get that out there?
That part is probably helpful. It is Amy_geek.
Fantastic. Okay, so what do you say we dive into the news out of Comic-Con?
Yay!
Yay, Comic-Con!
Yay, Comic-Con! Okay, there was a bunch of news, and sorry, I'm going back to our blog now and pulling things up. So how are we going to do this? Do we just want to just hit up bullet points and then just rapid-fire our thoughts?
That sounds good to me.
Fantastic.
That
so
works for me.
Let's start off with Zack Snyder will officially be directing a Batman and Superman film with an anticipated release date of summer 2015. That one must have been an announcement that blew the roof off of Hall H.
Yeah, the explosion from the audience when they revealed the Bat/Superman shield logo combo mashup thing was insane. People flipped right out on the YouTube video I saw.
I had mixed feelings about the last Batman film and Superman film, but get those two in the same film and okay, I'm intrigued.
Now see, I have feelings because I had problems with Man of Steel.
Okay. You're not alone.
And now, like, Superman is more like Batman, and you're going to put them in the same movie, and what, I don't understand
it's going
how it's
going to
work.
It's going to be the grittiest, darkest, grimmest thing this side of Frank Miller. So
pretty much. And they're just going to have to destroy the whole planet at this point, just to keep up with the...
The Death Star is going to come and destroy
Metropolis.
Metropolis
barely survived, so I mean, at the very least, a continent's going to get blown off the map.
Something. And Gotham's got it coming for sure.
Let's see. Lionsgate also treated audience to a new Catching Fire theatrical trailer, and I'm excited. Very excited for Catching Fire.
Yes, I loved the trailer. I am so excited.
Yeah, that one got a few replays from me. Because I'm like, I want to see it now. Over, let's watch it again.
And I swear we bring this up on every podcast, but November is going to be a crazy month for movies.
Yeah, I'm real excited.
Ender's Game, Catching Fire, what was the third one?
Thor.
Thor, that's right. Thor.
That's already in November? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to have a film to go see almost every week.
Every week, yeah. Like, that's a lot of leaving the house. I don't know how I feel.
I've hardly seen any movies over the summer. Like, usually summer is when you go to the movies and when all the great movies are out. But I really haven't wanted to see anything this summer. So
I still need to take you to go see Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will. I'll go see it.
I mean, you tell me how much you love Independence Day all the time. I share your love of Independence Day. If you love that movie, you will love Pacific Rim.
Okay.
What he said. Times 100. Yes.
And we also got to see some of the first footage from the Veronica Mars film, which has me very, very happy. I love Veronica Mars. I know you haven't seen it, Nancy.
No, I haven't.
Okay. That's...
No, don't feel bad. I've seen like the first 5 episodes and just recently, because some friends were like, no, we need to watch this. And we had a mini marathon, but I want to watch more.
Well, I've told Brian that I kind of have a weird bias against Veronica Mars. Cause when I first heard about the show, I thought it was going to be science fiction because her name was Veronica Mars. And then I found out it was just about like a girl in high school. And I was like, well, that's stupid, and refused to watch it.
We're going to have to fix that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't watch that, it would be almost as tragic as how I almost didn't watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer because it was a show on UPN about a teenager and vampires.
It wasn't on UPN at first, though.
That's right. It was on the WB.
WB.
All right.
I was one of the first people in my school to watch Buffy, because the thing with me and Buffy is that we were the exact same age. So I grew up with Buffy, and everyone was like, that show looks so stupid. Why are you watching it? I'm like, no, it's really good. You have to watch it. And then season two came along and everyone started watching Buffy, and I was like, ha ha, told you.
This trip down the formative years of television has been brought to you by Tashi Station Radio. The X-Men were out in full force, and
yes. We
got some we got some footage from the soon-to-be-released Wolverine this Friday. That's out. And then a trailer from X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past.
Wait, was there a trailer?
Or they just had
a panel, I think.
That's,
I'm like, is there? Because I'm going to leave right now and go watch it if there is.
Okay, I think it was just a panel. Sorry.
I mean, it was a fantastic panel because there was, like, Michael Fassbender, and then two seats over was Hugh Jackman.
And then Sir Ian McKellen hit on Michael Fassbender, I heard.
I didn't see about that. That's hilarious.
That's kind of perfect, actually. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I have to say, more excited for me about Days of Future. I mean, Wolverine, I'm just, the other one wasn't that great. I have better hopes for this one, but I'm more excited about Days of Future Past.
Yeah, I really loved X-Men First Class, like, really a lot. And even before I started, like, loving Michael Fassbender. And so I don't know really much about Days of Future Past, but I'm just excited to see it again.
Oh, the comic's so good.
And I don't know if I'm going to go see Wolverine or not.
I don't either.
Okay, I'm not the only one.
No, I'm like, I'd really, I'm just going to say this and whatever. I'd rather go see Pacific Rim again if I'm going to go see a movie in the next couple of weeks.
We've all gotten burned so much on those sort of standalone X-Men film that Wolverine is just not a film I'm going to rush out to go see.
Yeah, if I hear good word of mouth about it, I'll probably go see it. But I just want to note this because we were having a discussion with someone on Twitter the other day about how Disney is going to have to encourage women to go see Star Wars, which is stupid.
Oh, dear.
And the whole idea of, you know, casting a hot guy is to get women to see the movie. I would just like people to know that Hugh Jackman is on my list. And I'm still not sure whether I'm going to go see Wolverine. So take that, Hollywood.
So it's almost like women aren't superficial and actually expect to see well-written characters to draw them to films.
Yeah.
What I know, it's crazy.
What a marvelously stupendous concept.
Like, if it was on Netflix streaming and I didn't have to pay for it, yes. But if I'm going to actually go to the movies and pay however much for a ticket, no, I want it to be a good movie.
I have standards. I mean, come on.
You have to sit in a theater for 2.5 hours and not tweet.
And the uncomfortable chairs.
I mean, if I'm going to go see
can't crunch your popcorn.
If I'm going to go see a bad movie, I want to see a bad movie in a setting where I can mock it mercilessly online.
Yes. Live tweeting bad movies is one of the genuine pleasures in life right now.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to have to do that on Tashi Station someday. Live tweet a bad movie for our audience.
Brian, luckily for you, I have many Lifetime movies on DVD.
Oh no.
Oh,
I've made a huge mistake.
Including Dying to Belong, starring Hilary Swank and Mark Paul Gosselaar.
What?
It's the best movie ever. It's about a sorority hazing that goes wrong. Jenna Von Oy falls off a ledge.
That sounds like the most hilariously awful 90s bad movie ever.
It is. It's great.
And moving on before we get segued into a Lifetime discussion. The anticipated Marvel Studios panel didn't
Yay.
Disappoint from what I gather. Well, it started with Tom Hiddleston showing up in character.
Like he does, because he's awesome.
Uh-huh. So, yes, Loki was there. to introduce extended trailer and footage for Thor: The Dark World.
Yay!
I even at the beginning of the year, I was looking forward to this Thor film more than I was Iron Man 3.
I was more of a fan of Thor, the first one. I don't know why, it just really connected with me somehow.
Did it have anything to do with Chris Hemsworth's arms?
No, it didn't. Shut up.
Okay. So, yes, Thor: The Dark World. Again, another film in November we're all really looking forward to. And then the cast and crew for Captain America: The Winter Soldier took the stage. And from what was gleaned from that panel, Kevin Feige mentioned that the Winter Soldier story in the film is going to stick pretty close to the brilliant Ed Brubaker run on the book. So, another reason to be excited. I loved Captain America. I thought it was a fantastic movie, so I am really, really looking forward to The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, me too. Captain America, the movie, actually. So before it, I was reading comics, but mostly like indie and Star Wars comics, pretty strictly.
Uh-huh.
And Captain America was the movie that made me want to read capes. So that's when I started reading superhero comics, was because of that movie and because of Cap. So I am super excited for the sequel.
I have a friend who loves Bucky Barnes, and she is so excited about Winter Soldier. It's ridiculous.
So we shouldn't do another Bucky wake at Dragon Con this year for her.
No, she's mad she missed the first one. not last year, the year before, 2011. I'm sure you know Mandy on Twitter. Yeah, because she just moved to LA.
Oh, yeah, Mandy, yeah. Yes.
So she had a gathering in her room at Dragon Con, which was a wake for Bucky Barnes.
Of course she did.
And our friend Brandon read a very touching eulogy that made people cry.
Aww.
And we all saluted Bucky Barnes. And it was great.
Now you can have a resurrection party.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Done.
We need to pitch that idea.
We do.
Wait a minute. I'll be at Dragon Con.
Yes.
I'm inviting myself right now.
I approve. Mm-hmm. So yes, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. There's another one to be excited for. And to continue on, Guardians of the Galaxy. The cast was flown in for that panel, and the film only started filming a little less than 2 weeks ago, but they had some footage with them. People are very excited. Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is going to be a departure from the Marvel fare you usually see, but my really knowledgeable Marvel friends are super, super excited for it.
Yeah, because I have to say, I know absolutely nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy, except that there's apparently a raccoon.
Yes, there's a raccoon with a rocket launcher. It's the Rocket Raccoon.
All I know is that Karen Gillan is now bald and people went nuts about it. I don't know why.
I discovered that one on Tumblr.
Yes.
And there was one last note from that panel. Of the Avengers 2 got a name, and it's going to be the Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. So that one got people up in a lather, but then Joss Whedon mentioned later that this is going to be a film that does not feature Hank Pym, so people then got confused.
It is confusing. And yeah. Where's Thanos? Didn't we just... What?
Yeah, so we had Thanos introduced at the end of the first Avengers film, but apparently he doesn't really play into the second Avengers film. Ultron does, but Hank Pym isn't around. But it sounds like the Ant-Man movie is going to come in the third phase. So, yeah, it's all a jumbled mess right now.
It sounds like it.
Well, we'll have to find out. Thus far, though, I think Marvel has earned the benefit of the doubt. So I'll let them sort through that.
Yes, I agree.
And...
Yeah, there was some... There was a Star Wars panel, or the Expanded Universe panels. But we didn't really get a lot of information about them. There wasn't really any news. It's just really the The biggest was the Honor Among Thieves cover, which is the James S. A. Corey book about Han Solo. So, and I liked the cover. I know some people didn't, but I think it's kind of, I like the whole style for the Empire and Rebellion books.
Oh, agreed. And I'm reading through an advanced copy of Razor's Edge, the Empire and Rebellion Leia novel. It's already fun about six chapters in. I think that one's going to prove to be pretty popular with fans.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, I need to start reading it. I haven't started yet.
I'm looking forward to that one very much.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far. And it's just another book in what's been largely a very good year in Expanded Universe novels.
Yeah, Amy, if you you really need to read Kenobi when it comes out. So
I'm looking forward to. Okay, so that's like, because I'm still like dabbling, and I'm on the Expanded Universe, and I'm on book three of X-Wing series.
Ooh, okay. That is when the series takes off.
Which, yeah, from the first book, I was already like, I want to stay up all night and read this. Wedge kicks butt. So I kind of have on my list after those, or taking a pause from those, I want to read Kenobi and Razor's Edge. And then we'll see after that.
Kenobi is wonderful.
Oh, yes. Kenobi is great. I mean, we've been gushing about it for weeks. I mean, I wish the release date was out so I could actually talk about why I love it so much.
I know.
But it's very good. I'd actually recommend, as soon as you're done with the fourth X-Wing book, take a break to read Kenobi and Razor's Edge.
This sounds like a good plan.
Let's see. So yeah, there wasn't really much in the way of earth-shattering Expanded Universe news. Unfortunately, they're not exactly in a place right now where they can tell us much, because according to Jen Heddle, they don't know much, with Episode 7 lingering overhead.
Yes. Hopefully we'll get some news soon. And then there was some news that you were really excited about, Brian.
Yes, the Legend of Korra trailer for Book 2.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet. Crap.
I wish you had. I saw it, and other staff writers, Bria, I watched it with her, and we both absolutely lost our minds. I am so pumped. I am so excited. I need it to be September now, so it's on my TV again. I have missed Korra so much.
So, Brian, are you going to make me watch it with you and tell me what's going on?
I might make you wait until you watch all of Avatar The Last Airbender first.
Aww.
But it'll go fast, because it's so good you won't want to stop watching it.
She's right. She's right.
That's what I did. I mainlined all three seasons. I'm like, these are on Netflix. I'll just watch a couple. And like, I think 2 days later, I'm like, whoa.
We'll have to take a free weekend sometime in September to just watch all the episodes, because otherwise I'll get distracted.
We will mainline that over a week, and it's been long enough that I'm set to do a marathon and rewatch it all.
Okay.
Let's see. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news, a show that I'm very excited for. Kobe Smulders will apparently be in the show. That's right. Agent Maria Hill will be in to a certain degree. She's still busy wrapping up the final season of How I Met Your Mother, but apparently she's involved.
That's cool.
Yeah, I want to see more of her in that role.
Yeah, I like that, and I like that they have the connection to the movie, because they have their new characters, but it's cool to have that sort of anchor to get people to watch the show.
So right now, she's confirmed for the pilot. It sounded like Joss Whedon was hoping that she could be involved more, schedule permitting, with How I Met Your Mother. But since this is the final season of How I Met Your Mother, fingers crossed that Agent Maria Hill has a more recurring presence in the series.
Priya will be ecstatic.
Let's see. Sorry, I am just skipping around my show notes because I was reading off the blog and completely lost where we were. I think Nancy will have to take the next point.
That's okay, because we'll talk about Mark Hamill. Woo!
Oh, I'm sure you're crushed to have to take this point, Nancy.
I am. But Mark Hamill talked about Star Wars during an interview. I know we're all really surprised about this. But he gave an interview. Of course, he didn't Doc directly about, you know, being involved because they can't. But he said, the article said, interview said, Hamill's hopes are high for the Star Wars Episode 7 reunion. We want this to happen. How could I not take this ride? They're making all the right moves, like Michael Arndt as the writer. Little Miss Sunshine, Toy Story 3. He writes humor and he writes heart. I'm not someone who looks to recapture the glory of when I was in my 20s. I think it'll probably be about the next generation. We'll be the link to the past, but the kids will be doing the heavy lifting and the Wookiee will have a walker.
Well, he has a cane, so yes. He's not much of a...
Can I just say that I love like that he talks about you know, the kids, like, they're gonna be Luke's kids, because please God, yes. Yeah, I'll be really sad if Luke's a hermit. I don't want a hermit Luke.
No Kenobi Luke.
No.
It didn't work out good for Obi-Wan, so. I'd love to see Mara Jade, of course.
Wouldn't we all, though? I'd be down with that.
Yes.
And while we're on the topic of Episode 7, I suppose we should address the latest in completely unverified, unsourced, and probably full of crap Episode 7 rumors.
We really need to have a sound effect for this.
I think you're the one who's mentioned using the Spaceballs line.
Yes.
We ain't found shit. let's see. The first weird rumor of the week was J.J. Abrams supposedly leaving Episode 7 because he wasn't keen on the idea of recording in Europe. And surprise, Lucasfilm said no.
Ugh. I'm shocked.
Jeez, I thought I saw something about that. I'm like, yeah, it's probably not true. Like, I'm not even going to read it.
Well, yeah, I think it was like the day after Comic-Con that people started talking about it, and I was just kind of side-eyeing at them.
Well, come on. If you're J.J. Abrams, do you take this job expecting to not have to record overseas?
Yeah, that's where all the Star Wars movies are filmed.
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable assumption to think about ahead of time that's where it's going to go.
Right.
Like, it's like, it was like, surprise, we're going to England. No.
Yeah, so whenever you're looking at Episode 7 rumors, you have to apply the context of reality to the rumor.
Or a big dose of salt.
Let's try a dump truck. And another Episode 7 rumor that emerged yesterday. Hold on to your butts. Zac Efron and Ryan Gosling.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, girl. Like, I heard you liked Episode 7.
That was no. That was the part that got me into the discussion about, you know, hot guys being in Star Wars to get the woman to go see it. And I was like, no.
Now, I will say,
good actors. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I will say, I do think Ryan Gosling's a great actor. I'm not nearly as convinced on Zac Efron, but I'm not convinced any of these casting rumors are true.
I mean, if you look to the other films, they don't cast people we really know about. The only person that was really well known for Phantom Menace was Liam Neeson. And Samuel L. Jackson, but that was because Samuel L. Jackson was pretty much, put me in the movie. And everyone knew that he was in the movie because of that. But, like, everyone else, no. Ewan McGregor had been in some roles, but he wasn't a household name by any means, nor was Natalie Portman. When they cast Hayden Christensen, no one knew who he was, really. So I could see them casting someone we've heard of before, but I can't see them casting someone like Zac Efron. No, that's not going to happen. And if you look at, you know, the original trilogy, they'd done roles before. Mark Hamill done a lot of TV, and Harrison Ford was in American Graffiti, but really they weren't that famous. And I think it's...
No,
I think
none of them.
Yeah, they're probably going to... I don't know why they wouldn't stick to that same idea.
Yeah, agreed. It's another rumor that just doesn't really add up. Although, in a world where a Jonas brother can get cast as Marius in Les Mis, I suppose anything's possible.
Don't remind me of that.
In more Disney news, this one confirmed they will be previewing new Star Wars attractions at the D23 Expo.
Yay!
Because I will be there.
Oh, yay! That's awesome.
You're going to be at D23?
Yeah, that was actually... So I was going to move at the beginning of August, but then I saw D23 was happening. I'm like, you know, let's stick around for another couple weeks because I have a hunch something will be announced.
Fantastic. All of you listening should go follow Amy on Twitter right now.
Yes.
Yes, I will be tweeting all the things during D23.
Yay.
Hooray! We now know someone who's going to be there. I'm happy. So,
yeah,
yes.
They're going to announce Star Wars attractions. Because why wouldn't they?
Disney using Star Wars in their theme parks? No.
That's silly.
Just a matter of time, I feel like, before one day, my dream is that we will have an entire Star Wars land.
Yes.
Or Star Wars / Marvel land.
Yes.
Oh, I could go for that. A Star Wars land with the Kessel coaster. Do the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs.
Heck yeah, have some lunch at the cantina.
I still don't know how they're going to work out the Marvel theme park rights.
Yeah, Universal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Universal has them through, what, 2020, I think I saw it was?
Yeah, I have no idea, though. It's, yeah.
Yeah, that's
that is a
cool that's
little
a
corner.
Mess.
Yeah, but I know they can do stuff. I think they can do stuff west of the Mississippi. So they might have Marvel stuff in California, which would be cool.
Unfortunately, then you run into the problem of the fact that Disneyland is pretty much out of space.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
There's just precious little room to expand out there.
I mean, I drive around Disney a lot, Disney World. There's a lot of land there. You can build a whole new park, just all of Star Wars. And people would go. But
That would very much be a shut up and take my money kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, though.
I know.
Yeah, that could be a shut up and make me move to Orlando kind of thing, honestly.
That could be a shut up and let me work at Disney World type of thing.
And finally, in the news, Star Wars Celebration Europe is this week, and we're jealous that we're not there.
Yes.
Yes.
I wish. I wish I could be in Germany right now.
You should all go follow Jawa James, I think, on Twitter. He's James Jawa. He is there. Also, Mark Newbold from Jedi News there, and James Burns are there. A lot of people are there, and I'm not there, and I'm mad.
So, James was at San Diego Comic-Con,
uh-huh.
Got on a plane, flew mm-hmm. to Germany for Celebration Europe.
Uh-huh.
He is either incredibly brave or has a death wish.
I think he's fueled by desserts.
All the sugar.
Yeah.
All the sugar, all the coffee.
Yeah, that's impressive. Very, very impressive.
So, yes, we salute you, James, and we'll be retweeting you incessantly over the next few days.
Yes. Yay.
And with that, we're going to move into Cammie's Concerns, our discussion topic for the week. And we, as you know, are joined by Amy Ratcliffe, and we are here to talk San Diego Comic-Con, Star Wars fan conventions, and just a grab bag of geeky things.
Yes. So, Amy, we start our... interviews the same way we all the time, which is, how did you become a Star Wars fan?
So I actually have something in common with your guest. I think it was from last week, and that I didn't see the Star Wars movies for the first time until the special editions came out. So I was 15 or 16-ish and saw them in the theaters. And really thought they were wonderful and have still to this day probably seen the special editions more than the originals, even though I finally did get my hands on a DVD of the originals. So I try to balance it. And then I followed that by the prequels, which I liked at the time, but definitely not as much as the original trilogy. But what really kind of pushed me over the deep end was, even though I adored those movies, Clone Wars came along. And that pushed me over the edge into the current obsession that I am in now. It made me kind of go back and revisit and give the world another look. And for me, the Clone Wars 2 made the prequels, like, it filled them out a little more so I could appreciate them in a different context. And somewhere in there, I started diving into the comics, just starting with the books. And I discovered toys in there, too, which was dangerous.
All the money I blew on the Action Fleet toys.
Oh, so many toys and Legos and figures, and they're all wonderful. So that's kind of how I started. Clone Wars, I think, though, that's like my little corner of Star Wars that I loved so much and cried when it was canceled. And even though it had, God knows, it had its flaws and silly episodes, but really added a lot to the universe for me.
See, I love asking this question whenever we have guests on because everyone's got a different answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're a big geek. I hope you don't mind if I say that.
Oh no, I mean it's in my Twitter handle. I love it.
Badge of honor. So what other properties, fandoms, franchises do you enjoy outside of Star Wars?
Oh man, I get excited about a lot of things. I'm just a bundle of enthusiasm. Sometimes too much, so I think. But I really have a passion for Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit, I dig Harry Potter, love Firefly. I've had a theme party with costumes. It was fantastic. Hunger Games, I really enjoy. Oh gosh, Battlestar Galactica. And kind of the Whedonverse in general. So those are kind of my biggest fandoms, I guess.
I've seen some of your posts about having parties with themed food.
Oh,
and it's awesome.
It's one of my favorite, just to go over the top and like research it in the books.
Did you have a Game of Thrones one?
I've done some Game of Thrones. So I usually watch the series every year with a group of friends because I don't have HBO.
Oh.
And for the finales, we do feasts. So everybody like picks like a recipe either from the show or there's a great site called End of the Crossroads that has like made it their business to recreate all those recipes, and even they published a book that George R. R. Martin approved of and or like put his stamp of approval on, rather. So we pick recipes from that and everybody brings their own thing, and then we have this glorious feast with wine, and then we almost all fall asleep during the series because we're like, this is the finale, we should be excited, but we're like, we ate too much.
Food coma.
Food and mead make you sleepy.
Sounds
but yeah,
fun.
I love to. And actually, one thing I keep meaning to do soon, though now it's probably going to have to wait until after the move, is in the first X-Wing book, they mention, I think it's Corellian.
Rishkat? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So
one of our bloggers, Emily, actually made a version of it.
Nice. That's what I want to do.
I have to try to find it on the blog.
Excellent.
So what exactly was your introduction to the world of fandom? I mean, it's one thing to idly watch these properties, but then there's the deeper entry into the franchises we love. How did you get into fandom?
Ooh, that's a good question. I kind of say like my first like experience with like geeky tendency things was in junior high. I watched Star Trek. And then I read some fantasy books in high school. And so I'm trying to think of, okay, I had a point. What was it? Oh, that back then I didn't have anybody, like I just read a great chapter of Wheel of Time, but I didn't have anybody to talk to about that. Because the internet was just like, not a lot of people in my area had it then. And it just is not the same. It's so easy to connect to people now. So it really started a few years later. I went to my first convention, which was Origins in Columbus, Ohio, and it's a gaming convention. And I found other people there that you can geek out with. and who don't look at you like you're speaking another language they don't understand. And it kind of like, was it just kind of accepting, like an accepting place to be? And that kind of, I think that's kind of where my understanding of fandom started, if that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
That makes perfect sense. So you were you recently covered San Diego Comic-Con. What news outlets were you writing for and panels you saw and people you interviewed? We just want you to gush about San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
Oh, my
gosh.
Make
us jealous.
Twist my arm. So this year, I just did some pictures and stuff for Nerd Approved. So that was just a photo gallery. But the most of the work I did was for IGN. So I covered like 10 or so panels for them, and unexpectedly got to do the relatively last minute cover of the Catching Fire press line, which...
Yeah, that made me jealous.
Oh, my goodness. So I'll fast forward to that in a second. But the panels are cool because when you're covering them for press, you get a golden ticket for most of the time. Like, studios will pass on one of their reserved seats to you, so you don't have to wait in line, which I kind of feel bad about. It's like the fast pass thing at Disneyland when you go past all those poor schmucks that didn't get a fast pass. And you're like, ha, but I feel guilty instead of triumphant. So I covered a handful of things for them. One thing that was cool was Helix, which is a new show coming to Sci-Fi by Ronald D. Moore, genius behind Battlestar Galactica. And it was just cool from the perspective that it looks like Sci-Fi is getting back to doing original Sci-Fi series.
Oh, thank goodness.
Crazy concept. And they specifically had the director of original content or VP of, I don't know, some fancy title of original content. And he said that is a direction they are very much endeavoring to go in, and also that they want to focus more on miniseries. Again, original, actual Sci-Fi, not so much the Sharknado stuff. So that was just cool to see, you know, actual science fiction on Sci-Fi. And I went to the Game of Thrones panel. That was kind of a last minute switch too, which was super fun for me because I adore those books and the series. And the cast just kind of did. There was a lot of talk. I don't know if you guys watched the series, but there was a lot of talk about the Red Wedding, which I won't go into in case people haven't seen it yet or haven't been spoiled.
I've heard enough about it to,
yeah.
Even though I haven't read the books or watched the show.
Yeah, I've pretty much figured it out through pop cultural osmosis by now.
Yeah, I figured. But it was kind of cool to hear them just talk back about that. And they did this hilarious, which deaths probably should not be this funny, but they kill a lot of people on that series. And in the books, so before the panel started, they did this great In Memoriam video that is online that starts with Boys to Men's, how it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And just kind of like does this like montage.
That's fantastic.
Deaths in the series so far. And then it very nicely like makes this like twist to the more serious at the end. So by the beginning, you're laughing hysterically. And at the end, I'm like, I need a tissue. So well played. Other cool things. I'm trying to think other cool panels that I saw. I got to see the Sherlock panel. And Stephen Moffat and Mark, going to mispronounce his last name, Gatiss. Oh, I forgot to mention that I love Doctor Who. There are too many things to get excited about. So it was fun to see them from that perspective, and I'm pretty excited about the next season of Sherlock. And Stephen Moffat is just, even though I'm angry at him right now, he's still a pretty cool guy. And I will say that I fangirled out the day of that panel. I went to the IGN party that night, and I normally don't get to go to any of those kind of parties, but I write for them, so I kind of like begged my editor with a sad face. I'm like, I get to come to the party, right? Can you please put me on? And he put me on the list, thankfully. And I totally, like, I took advantage of the opportunity. I'm usually so shy about asking for pictures, but Simon Pegg was there. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to ask for a picture. And I did, and he was nice. And David Bradley was there, and he is, he's Filch in Harry Potter.
Oh, cool.
And he's in Game of Thrones, and I don't know. So I don't usually do that kind of stuff, but I just am like, you know what? We're going to fangirl. And I said hi. And I introduced myself to Stephen Moffat and I didn't punch him.
That's extraordinary restraint right there.
So that stuff was cool. And then, so on like Friday, like my panels, like my schedule was kind of spread out. And on Friday, because you're running all over the place, like I'm booking it from my hotel, which is like a mile away from the far end of the convention center and the bayfront where all the press like interviews and stuff are. Meanwhile, like IGN, my editors, like set up at Hard Rock, which is another, so it's just a lot of running around. And like I had run to the Hard Rock to pick up a wireless card for my editor. And he's like, so what, you know, what is your schedule like tomorrow? I'm like, well, you made it, but I know you're busy. So, so I'm like, you know, I don't have anything until 1:45. He's like, how, like, can you do the Catching Fire press line? I'm like, yes. And the other executive editor was like, she's like, are you familiar with the franchise? I'm like, yeah.
Am I ever?
just had a Hunger Games party last month. No deaths, just, you know, a theme. And so I got excited and I started to think about like questions and stuff and not really thinking, because I usually do audio stuff. I very rarely do on-camera interviews and I haven't done any for IGN. And there's just like a certain point, like when you're getting into that world where they're like, somebody's gonna like ask before they make me do that. Right. Cause they know I don't have a lot of experience. Like surely they wouldn't just trust me to. No, I found out Saturday morning, the day out, he's like, it's on camera. I'm like, oh, not my face, hopefully. And no, cause it's just the microphone basically. But it was a scary thing for me because when you're doing like roundtables or audio, if you F up the question or stumble, the only person that's going to hear it is you when you're transcribing it. So he told me that, and I only had like half an hour before I had to check in, and I felt like I was going to hurl. But I didn't, thankfully. And it went okay. And they had a lot of Jennifer Lawrence is just one of those like stars. Like she just seems so adorable and so down to earth.
She really does.
And she was exactly like that in person. So meeting her was really cool. And she was very, like, a couple outlets in front of me. Like, the guy had questionably, professionally brought his kids to meet the Hunger Games people, which I get because that's cool, especially. I mean, it's cool for me. So I can imagine if you're a 12-year-old and get to meet Katniss, it's probably, like, the best day ever. And they offered her candy. So when she got to me, like, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have any candy. She's like, oh, I still have some. Do you want? I'm like, so it's just, oh, just wanted to hug her. That would have been,
aww.
I was tweeting, like, you know how, have you guys seen Notting Hill?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Oh, well, there's the scene, like, when a girl meets Julia Roberts, very famous actress character, and is just kind of gushes and says, like, I know that if you, like, we could just be the best of friends, and I'm like, I totally wanted to do that with Jennifer Lawrence. I thankfully did not. So yeah, so I interviewed her and Josh Hutcherson, who plays PETA.
I'm gonna be really jealous of you for that.
Oh, he was nice and not very tall, which is, I'm so short, so I'm like, oh, somebody might.
Me too.
Yay, short people. And Lenny Kravitz was there. It surprised me that they got him to come to Comic-Con, so it was cool to meet him. And the girl that plays Prim, Willow Shields, is just the most adorable little thing who likes Doctor Who and would like to cosplay as the Doctor. She didn't say which one. But she was just, and she was very, like, I mean, she's, I don't know how old she is, not terribly old. And she was just very poised and very happy about being there. And I don't know. She's always rocked me because I saw this one interviewer ask her once whether she was Team PETA or Team Gale. And she's like, I'm Team Katniss.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah, you are.
Right answer. Well done.
So that was super fun. And I also in there, it was also the press line for a movie called I, Frankenstein, which I hadn't heard anything about. But it's Stuart Beatty. Is he the director? I should know this since I talked. Yeah, Stuart Beatty. And the guy who wrote it also wrote Underworld, and Aaron Eckhart is in it. So I got to interview him, which I just think he's really cool and very chiseled.
He is very chiseled.
Yeah. So that was fun. And other than that, I covered, there was a cool panel Saturday night. Well, Arrow, because I just adore that show, and all the things about it. So that was fun to see that panel and see what they've already hinted at for season two. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday, I did, this was great. They, like, I was supposed to do a round table, like a press round table, for Beware the Batman, which is the new Batman cartoon on the DC Nation block. But apparently I didn't suck at the camera stuff, so we just did it on camera again. And I did not feel like hurling that time, thankfully. I'm like, oh, I've done this before. Like, this was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And yeah, and just in between that, like, I just ran around and tried to see friends and wandered around the exhibit hall, like, with Muppet arms, because everything there is just so cool. So yeah, that's kind of the news part of my Comic-Con. That was kind of the working part. Sorry, so, you told me to gush, so I did for a long time.
So what did you get to do as a, you know, just as a fan? Like, did you go to panels and stuff, or did you just walk around the floor?
I didn't get to any panels for me, if that makes sense. But I did walk around the floor a lot. I on preview night, I spent that night mostly going around and checking out the bigger, like, is in the middle of the exhibit hall. The exhibit hall is freaking gigantic. But all the kind of, like, studios are, like, cuddled in the middle. So I wanted to check out Weta, because last year they brought Cave Trolls. And this year they brought, I'm going to mispronounce his name, the white orc, Azog from the Hobbit. Mm-hmm. Life-size, gigantic, amazing. And there's just lots of, like, spectacle like that to check out. Like, your neck will hurt from craning up to look, and, like, you get a headache because everything is overstimulated, but in the best possible way. And one of my favorite things that I saw this year, though, was outside the convention, they had a life-size replica of Bag End, a Lego Bag End.
I just saw that on your blog. That's awesome. Oh.
It just made me so happy. I'm like, I want to hug all the blocky, tiny dwarves. But the security guy was looking, but he did let me sit on the, like, there's like a kind of like a step or the base. He let me sit on that to take a picture. And there's just, yeah, there's just, it's the most, there's just so much stuff inside the convention. And every year, I've been, this is my 7th Comic-Con. And every year just kind of keeps expanding outward a little more. So I truly think that you could come to San Diego for just the time during the convention and be busy and happy, even if you don't have a pass to get inside the convention center. Because there's just so much to see. It's really cool. That's one thing I like about it. It's just you can't get away from the convention unless you're staying like 10 miles away.
Yeah, I know at Dragon Con they used to not. Now they've gotten to the point where they make you show your badge at night to get into the hotels. You know, if you don't, I know people who've gone like during the day and just stand in the lobby and watch people in costume, because it's just, you could just sit there for hours and watch everyone walk around in costume. It's amazing.
Oh, I can't wait. And speaking of James, I did get to hang out with him a little too. That was fun. He walked around with me on preview night, and because of him being in the know that DK Publishing was giving away a beautiful Star Wars Vehicles book that wasn't published yet, I got to snag one of those. So that was cool.
I was really jealous because I heard that they were giving out Yoda ears for dogs.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that corner. I didn't realize they were giving away ears. There were so many cute pet toys.
I know. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm like, my cats are getting all of it.
I know.
More for me, but that's fine. They're gonna be like, I don't care about this Millennium Falcon toy. Where's my cardboard box?
So, Brian and I have both never been to Comic-Con, and we probably won't ever go just because of logistical reasons. So But I've always heard about how Comic-Con is, you know, the biggest con and the best con, and how it there's just so much to do. And obviously, you love it. So if you had to sell someone to come to Comic-Con, like if you had to try to convince us to go to Comic-Con, like how would you compare it to other cons and just say, you know, is it how it's better than other cons, or is it better? Are there others you like better, and are there things about it you don't like?
All of the above. There are other conventions I like better for different things. Like Comic-Con, for example, is not the place I know that I will see and get to spend time with all my friends, because everybody is either working or running around or trying to see everything. So you see people at night, but then everybody's usually tired and zombie-like. So it's not a convention for hanging out with friends, and it's not a convention really for comics. I have other favorites for those things. But the cool thing about Comic-Con that you cannot get at any other convention I've ever been to is just the sheer circus, spectacle, magic, craziness that I recommend everybody see it at least once. Like, you might go once and be like, okay, like I've crossed that off my list and I'm going to sleep for a year and never go again. But going once just to see, because I can explain to you how big the exhibit hall is and how wacky the displays are, and you can see pictures, but nothing really sells the experience of being there in the trenches. Like, it's crazy stuff. Like, so you're walking around the Gas Lamp, which is the district right next to the convention center, and the TV show Vikings, like, has set up, like, I'm really bad at distance, so, like, a fairly large size, like, pool with boats that they have just set up for the convention. So, and you're like, you're just walking along, you know, I'm like, wait, did I just see Viking boat? Yes, I did. All right, why not? And just the fact that the whole town kind of, like, a lot of places have themed menus, which even though they always forget the hyphen in Spider-Man, anytime they put it on a menu, they're still, it's really cool that they're in the spirit. And, like, they'll transform, like, there's a restaurant near the convention center that transformed, like, one of their buildings into a spice shop from Grimm. So it's just the fact that the whole community gets in on it, and it's just such a immersive, like, con vacation. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a vibe I don't get at any other convention.
That really does sound fantastic. Nancy, do you want to do San Diego Comic-Con at some point?
Sure.
Let's go.
Just go once.
It's on our bucket list, I think. So what?
Long as we have an escape plan if it gets too crowded.
Yes. That is a good thing. There are places you can get away, like in the back of the convention center. There's like a bunch of steps, right? And it's right by the ocean. And it's relatively easy to break away from the crowd and go outside and breathe in fresh ocean air.
Cool.
A good escape is good at any oversized con.
So,
what other conventions and fan events are on your calendar for the year?
Let's see. This year, it's interesting because I went to several anyways, but I'll be going to even more at least this year because my fiance does a comic and he goes to all of them because, you know, he's selling this comic. So I'm like, I'll tag along. and I get to check out more East Coast conventions. So I am going to Dragon Con. Baltimore Con. I'm so excited. Baltimore Comic Con, which is my second time going, and that I love that convention because it is all comics all the time. Like, they usually don't even have media guests. So it's a good see all the comic creators, get things signed, hang out with friends, good time. And I got to find, like, I love finding, like, little indie, like, self-published stuff, and that's a great place for that. And then Baltimore, I think there's a Cincinnati Comic-Con Expo thing that I'm going to, and Mid-Ohio Con, which is a wizard convention, but I really want to go to Columbus, so I'm like, we'll go. And then New York Comic-Con and Geek Girl Con, and I think that's it.
That is a packed convention schedule.
Yeah, I'm getting myself. I'm like, I'm not going to. Maybe this is a bad idea.
Next year, you should come to MegaCon in Orlando.
I am planning to do that.
Yay!
I went not this year, but in 20, what year is 20? I went in 2012. And because I am moving away from Disneyland, which I love so much, my fiance and I have agreed that we will go to MegaCon every year. So we have an excuse to go to Disney World and Wizarding World.
That sounds like a plan.
Yes.
So you're going to be at Dragon Con. Obviously, we're excited about that because we're going to be there. So we're curious. What are you planning to do there? Is it for work, just fun, or something in between?
I'm just going to go for fun. Yeah. So I've learned that I've tried taking a couple. Like I will like in my head like work. I think the big ones. Like I'll work San Diego and I'll work New York. And maybe eventually I will Dragon Con, but I'm like, this is my first year. Like, I want to just hang out and see what I see. So,
that's
I'm just
talking about because it's a really different con. Like I said, it's not a news convention. It's really just, you know, casts getting together and talking and John Barrowman showing his underwear. And
what?
Yeah, John Barrowman showed his underwear last year. And, there was a Firefly panel with Adam Baldwin, Jewel State, and Sean Marr. And they kept calling Nathan Fillion. Like, each of them called Nathan Fillion one after the other during the panel.
Now, did they call him or did he call them?
No, I think he called them.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm sorry, I can't be there. And they were just talking to him like, hey, Nathan, what you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm at Dragon Con. Just talking. And because it's a party con, there are many panels where the guests are either A, drunk, or B, hungover.
Oh my gosh, all of them have to be like, this is my favorite convention, I will always come.
They're, you know, you see celebrities in the hotel lobby, you know, just drinking and having fun.
We rode in an elevator with Michael Dorn.
Yes. And Daniel Logan will be there, so I'm sure he will be having a good time because he's known for that. What else? Yeah, you just, like I said, just walk around and take pictures of people in costume. There's like, they have a ton of groups and stuff, and they have a lot of most of the fan tracks. A lot of them have a party, like they have the Buffy prom. And they have, I think this year they're having an Avengers ball.
Do people wear themed like prom dresses?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Of course. And then there's the last party on Alderaan, which is a Star Wars party. And it's so much fun. I love Dragon Con. And then, like, you know, people just hang out in their rooms and, you know, game and sing karaoke and all the crazy things you do at conventions. And also, Dragon Con, if you're staying at a host hotel, has Dragon Con TV, which is really good because you can watch panels in bed and not have to get up.
Oh, why hasn't every convention done that?
I know,
the closed circuit TV they use at Dragon Con is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, last year we ended up like staying in the room because we just didn't feel like dealing with the crowds, and we turned on Dragon Con TV and the Stan Lee panel was on. So we ended up watching the whole thing and it was hilarious. And I'm like, I'm really glad that I, you know, just stayed in here and watched it rather than waiting in line for an hour and a half or so. And then they also have Michael Stackpole and Aaron Alston do writing workshops there that are like an hour long each, and you can, they're, I think they're like $10 each. So I've done several at the two I've done, and they're very useful. So it's gonna do more this year. And we're also,
that's a cool idea.
Yeah, and we're also doing Star Wars panels because Brian volunteered us.
So Amy, excellent. I know you're not there for work.
Oh, you're going to ambush poor Amy.
I am, yes. We're doing a panel called Women and Minorities in Star Wars.
Sign me up.
Excellent. I will I will get in touch with the Star Wars track folks and let them know you're interested.
Yeah, because right now it's just Brian and I, and while I'm sure we could definitely talk about that issue for an hour, you know, it would be nice to have other people on the panel too.
I would love to be on it, as expressed by me completely cutting you off.
I didn't even have to finish that thought.
Great.
Okay, great. We got more than two people on that panel. If you're going to be at Dragon Con, you should come to that panel because Amy's going to be on it with us.
Yes. I think Teresa Delgado from Star Wars Bookworms is going to join us too.
Yes. She has also expressed interest in sitting in on that panel.
Yes. Yay. So getting away completely from cons, but still talking about geeky things. Okay, Amy, I have to be girly with you now, because you are also getting married, and you're also planning a geeky wedding. So I need to hear some of your ideas for geeky wedding stuff.
Hang on, give Nancy a second to get out her notebook.
We've already shared Pinterest
yes.
username, so.
Have you? Okay.
Yes. Yes, we have. It's fun because I'm getting excited about thinking of it, but then I'm like, no, like wait till you move before. But I'm like, but there's so much stuff to look at.
Yeah.
But I am doing like doing engagement photos this weekend actually.
Oh, fun.
Because I wanted to do it in LA before I moved, and one of our locations is at my comic book shop.
Nice.
Which. It just made me happy, and they're so nice, and it's like been like my little, kind of like a little home, because everybody there is so good, and I've been going there for a few years, and like we're going to do like one set of nerdy ones, and then one set of like traditional ones for the family members that don't understand, like why are you wearing a bright neon orange dress and your engagement photos, and why is there a light? What is that a lightsaber? So yeah, we're going to do, we're an interesting, like, my fiance really enjoys Star Wars, but he's definitely, like, more on the Trek side of things. So we're going to have, like, a phaser lightsaber battle, I think.
Nice.
Should be fun. And then, oh my gosh, you have to tell me about your wedding stuff, too, because I'm, like, trying to think of ways to, because I want to do geeky stuff, but I don't want to be over the top, and I'm trying to think of ways to incorporate, like, some hobbity things and some
we're doing a lot of music. I think pretty much all the music is going to be like Phantom stuff. Like we're going to play Singin' in the Rain before because that was our first date. So
aww.
And then Yoda's theme just because I like it and it's not really Yoda's theme like when people are coming to sit down in the ceremony because. You know, Yoda's very wise and, you know, as a homage to our families and parents.
Nice. And I'm like, also Yoda's wise and knows not to sit the crazy uncle next to the.
Yes. And then, of course, I'm going to walk down the aisle to Across the Stars.
And I am going to cry.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And then I want to have the fireworks song from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix when people come into the reception.
Excellent.
While we're cutting the cake, I want them to play the Hogwarts March.
I love it.
And then just like have lots of like movie themes and stuff playing while we're eating and stuff like that.
That's cool. Go ahead.
I would say, and I had a song picked for the first dance, but then the other day, Brian linked me to a video from Jimmy Fallon of the Jesse and the Rippers reunion.
What?
Yeah, John Stamos was on with all the guys from Full House who played the members of
his
band.
Shut up!
Yes.
It was one of the most incredible videos I've ever seen.
And they sang a medley of songs, and one of them was Forever, which was the song that he wrote, or that he sang on the show. And I said, Brian, can Forever be our first dance? And he said yes. So that's going to be our first dance.
And you got it recorded and in writing, and he can't change his mind.
No, he can't.
That's awesome. I like the music. I like incorporating it that way. That's a good idea.
Yeah, because like even like if people don't know, they're not going to be like, oh, you know, That's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But and then also, of course, during the for the recession, I'll have it be the Throne Room theme.
Of course.
Yeah. And my mom was the one who suggested that we have to take pictures of us like walking in it through lightsabers, you know.
I was going to ask you, that seems like a very good classic decision. Yeah. I like it.
I was like, Mom, I'm already ahead of you.
And I'm like trying to figure out like little things. So I would love to make a way, so the belt that Leia wears in A New Hope.
Yeah.
To try to make that out of like who am I kidding? Try to commission somebody to make that out of like a silk, like satiny thing.
Yeah.
So that it could be like go with my wedding dress but still be a nice little Leia. Yeah. Homage. And like I'm thinking about like little terrariums with different themes for maybe the centerpieces, because I made a Hobbit one a while ago for fun, like you do, and I could like make like different theme ones and like put little action figures in them or something.
We're having all the table names be Star Wars planet names.
Nice. That is an excellent idea.
We're going to have all of the Tashi Station staff sit at Alderaan.
Or
Priya.
Like putting them in the corner. Like, don't put baby in the corner. Don't put your friends in Alderaan.
Now, if we were really mean, the table centerpiece would just be a jar of rocks.
You mean mean? You mean genius. Yeah. That's actually what you mean.
Well, we'll either have to sit them at Alderaan or Hapes for Priya, so... But yeah, just stuff like that. Like my mom is kind of like, you know, she knows that this is what I like, and I'm gonna do what I want. She's kind of like apprehensive that she doesn't want to make it seem like a kid's party, and she's like, you know, this is your wedding. But I showed her my Pinterest, and then she kind of got what I was going for, and that was gonna be, you know,
funny. Peaceful. Your Pinterest is what made my mom feel a lot better too.
Really?
Yes.
Aw. Why do people think I'm going to have a dumb wedding?
Everyone we talk to seems to think we're going to have a costume party for a wedding.
That's exactly what I don't want. I mean, not that costume weddings are bad. It's just not what I wanted to have.
Yeah, and it's hard to do costume weddings right. Like, I feel like you have to have a lot of dollars to make sure you have nice costumes.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want to invest all of my dollars in. Yeah. So I appreciate when people do. It's just not my personal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're looking for the more subtle touches of fandom within the wedding.
Yeah, like a lightsaber cake cutter.
Excellent. And I found... Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just saying, yeah, we have to make that.
That's a really good idea. I found on Etsy, like, a Millennium Falcon, it's technically like a cupcake stand or something, but I think that we're doing, like, we both like pie better than cake. So, like, do a bunch of mini pies, and then you can put it on the Millennium Falcon stand.
Yeah, we're due to do cupcakes.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, so much fun.
I know, it's just, like, it's so frustrating just try to plan a wedding that has geeky stuff, and... To find the stuff, although thank God, you know, the internet exists, and like I found I don't know if you've seen the site When Geeks Wed.
Yes.
And Offbeat Bride, of course, is when I started looking at. But like you should look at like the traditional wedding magazines. It's like, no, this isn't what I want. And then they're
not
like
for me.
Yeah, and then they're like, you know, let your groom have his way and have a sci-fi theme or have some sci-fi stuff. And I'm like, no!
Yes, the hilarious thing about that assumption is that you would be letting me have a sci-fi theme wedding.
Yeah. It's like, no, I'm the one who wants it. Me!
Oh, fine.
But that brings up all these other issues. That we'll talk about on the Dragon Con Women and Minorities in Star Wars panel.
Yes. Oh, yes. I have feelings.
Sunday, 11:30 a.m. at Dragon Con. Be there.
But it's not 10 o'clock panel, so at least we can sleep in.
Right. I just had it saying that. I'm like, okay.
And sound intelligent.
Okay. Well, I think we might need to start wrapping this up. as much fun as I've had, this has been great. It's one of my favorite podcast episodes yet. So, Amy, where can we find you on the internet? Use this as an opportunity to pimp whatever you want.
And your fiancé stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, I could pimp him. Wait a minute. I don't share. Unless you have a lot of money, and then I will.
Context is everything.
Anyway, so you can find me on Twitter, as mentioned previously, Amy_geek, and I blog on my site, Geek with Curves, and when I'm keeping up with it, I usually post links there to everything I write around the internet, so it's a good one-stop shopping. And my fiance is Tom Zoller, and he does a wonderful comic called Love and Capes, and he is conveniently Love and Capes on Twitter. He also did a My Little Pony comic, and we had lots of very funny conversations about ponies. I would get these random texts about ponies in the middle of the day. It was fantastic. Anyways, I like him. You should too.
Awesome. So head over to the blog. We'll have some links in the show notes. You can find Amy's stuff there. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. Won't be with you guys next week. I'm going to be busy moving, but we should be with you the week after, and we'll have some pinch-hitting hosts week after that. Let's wrap with a word from our sponsors. Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Click the links at the blog. Help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us handles at Tashi_station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree on Facebook. We're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find our columns at news at Tashi-Station.net, the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.